Tonight we're going to continue our study of the Old Testament book by book. And tonight we're going to be examining an overview of the book of Jeremiah. Last week with the book of Isaiah, we entered into the section of the Old Testament that we call the prophets. And we are dealing with noticing those major prophets as we commonly classify them. We made mention last week that the only difference between the major prophets and the minor prophets is simply the amount of material that they wrote. And so this evening we want to look at the prophet Jeremiah and the book of Jeremiah. And certainly I believe we have to begin in examining this book by making the statement that there is no sadness comparable to the loss sustained when men do not like to retain God in their knowledge. And when you look at the book of Jeremiah, that's exactly what you see. You see the covenant people of God, the nation of Judah, who does not want to keep God in their knowledge. And so with such, Jeremiah is going to continue to preach and to proclaim God's word, be a prophet for God in the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, and yet it is not going to have positive results. The book of Jeremiah is, in fact, the longest of all the prophetic books in the Old Testament. Now, when I say that, someone may say, now, wait a minute, Isaiah has 66 books. There are 66 chapters, rather. Jeremiah has 52 chapters. That's true. But when you go by word-for-word count in the Hebrew language, the book of Jeremiah actually ends up being longer than the book of Isaiah. And so it is the longest of the prophetic books, the books of the prophets. The writer of the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah. There is very little discussion concerning that, though certainly it is with the book of Jeremiah as it is with many of the others. There are those who don't want to believe that or who will try to argue against it because of the things that are recorded therein and especially the prophecies that are given. But generally speaking, it is readily accepted that Jeremiah is the writer of the book. After all, that's exactly the way that it begins. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. And so it is readily accepted that that is the case. We're not sure when he wrote the book of Jeremiah. And in fact, as we're going to notice, though we'll simply refer to it very briefly, the book of Jeremiah, as we have it, is actually not the first book of Jeremiah that was recorded, because the first one ended up in the fire, as we'll make notice. But God will tell him to write it again. And the indication is that not only will he write it again, but he'll add more to it from the word of God. To whom is the book written? Well, it's written to the nation of Judah, including her kings, her priests, her prophets, her princes, and her people. Chapter 1, verse 18. What is the purpose of the book of Jeremiah? The main purpose of the book of Jeremiah is that this is God's last effort to bring Judah back to repentance. It is a call for them to come back, a continual call for them to come back in repentance. Judah would have to repent in order to avert the threatened calamities and destruction, as well as their captivity by the Babylonians. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 through 10. God would break sinful Judah as one breaks a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, with the ferocity of the Babylonians because of the Jews' crimes against God himself. Jeremiah chapter 19. And the people had departed from the law of God through their failed leadership of kings and princes, Jeremiah chapter 10 and Jeremiah chapter 23. They had departed from the law of God through their false prophets and their corrupt priests, Jeremiah chapter 5 and Jeremiah chapter 23 and other places. They had departed from the law of God through their worship of false idolatrous gods, Jeremiah chapter 22. They had departed from the law of God through trusting in the presence of the temple in order to save them, Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 4, 8, and 8 through 12, as well as departing from the law of God through their treating God's word with contempt. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 21 through 28. By way of background concerning the book of Jeremiah and Jeremiah himself, we notice, first of all, concerning the man. The name Jeremiah, there is some discussion as to what the actual meaning of the name is, but generally it is accepted that it is that of exalted of Jehovah, or exalted of God, or appointed of God. And Jeremiah, of course, is known as the weeping prophet among many of those who know concerning the Old Testament. He is also sometimes described as the prophet of doom in prophesying concerning what is going to happen to the nation of Judah, because he foretold concerning the fall of Jerusalem as well as the destruction of the temple. But unlike many of the prophets, Jeremiah had much to say concerning himself. In fact, the book of Jeremiah is a very autobiographical book as compared to the majority of the books of the prophets. He was, as is described in the book of Jeremiah, he was young when he was called into the service of God, though he was actually chosen to be a prophet before his birth, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He was one who was devoutly religious. He was one who was tender-hearted, and he was uncommonly bold and courageous. He was the son of Hilkiah, as we noted just a moment ago from chapter 1 and in verse 1. Hilkiah, his father, is a priest. They lived in the city of Anathoth. Anathoth was one of those cities that was of the tribe of Benjamin that was given to the priests. Joshua chapter 21, verses 13 through 19, and 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 57 through 60. Anathoth is located about 3 miles northeast of the city of Jerusalem, and even though it's northeast of the city of Jerusalem, it is a city that belongs to the tribe of Benjamin, which is generally accepted as being south of Jerusalem. But Anathoth belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. Jeremiah was assured of the Lord, by the Lord, that in fact God would be with him as he went about his prophetic duties, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 19. But it was also told Jeremiah that in fact he would suffer persecution. And so his own persecution was foretold to him, chapter 1, verse 19. And because of the distressing times, God commanded Jeremiah not to marry, Jeremiah chapter 9, or chapter 16. His own family, as well as his own townsmen, would beat him and put him in stocks, and they would deal treacherously with him, Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah chapter 11. And the men of Jerusalem conspired against him, chapter 18. And they put him in stocks and beat him, chapter 20. Jeremiah, when he was released, he was assaulted and nearly lost his life, Jeremiah chapter 26. As a result of his prophecy that the Babylonians or the Chaldeans would in fact be victorious over the Jews, the princes of Judah labeled him as a traitor. And as a result, they put him into prison and they appealed to King Zedekiah to put him to death, Jeremiah chapter 37 and into chapter 38. King Zedekiah delivered Jeremiah into the hands of those who wanted Jeremiah, and they put him into the slimy cistern. And there Jeremiah remained until an Ethiopian by the name of Ebed-Melech came along and hauled him out. But he remained in prison, and he remained in the court of the prison until Jerusalem was finally taken by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians were the ones that released Jeremiah. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar was the one who gave the order that Jeremiah was to be set free and permitted to remain in the land, and it is generally accepted and believed that the reason that Nebuchadnezzar did that was because Jeremiah made the prophecy that Babylon was going to be victorious. And not only would Babylon be victorious, but Jeremiah told the people of Judah they should submit to Babylon. They should submit to the Chaldeans, which they refused to do. Jeremiah, after Jerusalem fell, assisted Gedaliah, who was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to be the governor over Judah at that particular time, chapter 40, verse 7. And when Gedaliah was murdered, then Jeremiah was compelled against his will to accompany the refugees from Judah down into Egypt. Chapter 43, verses 5 through 7. And from all indications, that is where Jeremiah lived out the remainder of his days. Jeremiah the prophet. He lived some 100 years approximately after Isaiah lived. His ministry began about 726 BC in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, chapter 1, verse 2. And it lasted somewhere around 60 years approximately, going all the way through the fall of Jerusalem in 586 and many years afterwards, living down in Egypt. His ministry spanned the reign of five different kings over Judah. Two of them are very insignificant. They reigned but short periods of time. But it included the last five kings of Judah, which was Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. He fearlessly denounced the sins of the rulers and of the priests and of the princes, as well as the false prophets in the land of Judah. But he also pronounced severe judgments upon Egypt and Babylon. And in fact, even though Jeremiah prophesied that Babylon was going to be victorious over Judah and told those of Judah that they should submit to the Babylonians, Jeremiah will go on and he will say, but eventually Babylon itself will fall. And that is exactly, of course, what we know to have taken place. He was called and has been called the bravest and grandest man of Old Testament history. And the reason that he's described in that way, though he's not described in Scripture that way, that's just a description that we give of him many times. The reason being, he was slapped in the face and thrown into dungeons. He was ridiculed, he was threatened, he was isolated, and he was despised. He was mocked by King Jehoiakim and taunted by the false and popular leader Hananiah and misunderstood by the masses of his own people. And yet the burning fire of duty and the glowing flame of conviction could not extinguish or be extinguished in Jeremiah. He remained to the very end the loyal, faithful servant of Jehovah God. Jeremiah was also contemporary with other prophets. He was a contemporary with the prophet Ezekiel and the prophet Daniel, the prophet Habakkuk, the prophet Zephaniah, the prophet Nahum, and the prophet Obadiah. All of those prophets prophesied at the same time or somewhere along the line of Jeremiah, though Jeremiah lasted throughout all their times in prophesying to Judah. When you consider the background concerning the nation of Judah, Israel, the northern kingdom, has already been taken away. They went away almost 100 years before this time, 721 BC. And so Judah remains alone. And Jeremiah began to prophesy during the last days of Josiah, the last good king of Judah. The last four kings that we made mention of, they were all described as evil. They were all described as bad. It was just a matter of how bad they were in relationship to the others. Jeremiah assisted Josiah in his reformation trying to get the people of Judah back to a complete reverence and respect and worship of God and God only through the destruction of all the false prophets and the false idols and all those things that were in the land. And yet it was only going to be for a short period of time, a temporary reform, because of the fact that the kings that will follow Josiah will all be evil and they will bring all these things back, and therefore the good that was accomplished was short-lived. There are, according to one estimate anyway, some 96 allusions in the New Testament to the book of Jeremiah and the things that are recorded in it. We have at least four passages anyway that are quoted in the New Testament: Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 15, chapter 7 verse 11, chapter 9 verse 24, and chapter 31 verses 31 through 34. That is simply to say the New Testament writers knew of the book of Jeremiah. They accepted the book of Jeremiah as being scripture, as being inspired, and therefore the book of Jeremiah was that which Christ and the apostles put their stamp of approval on as far as its authority and its authenticity is concerned. The keys to the book of Jeremiah, as we have tried to notice with every one of the books so far in the Old Testament that we have covered, the key words would include the word forsake and forsaking, or forsaken rather, some 24 times in the book. The word backslider and backsliding used some 13 times in the book of Jeremiah, and certainly the word return, which is used 47 times in the book of Jeremiah, calling for the people to return to obedience to God. The key phrase would be the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord," or the phrase, "I have put my words in thy mouth," Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, and chapter 18, verse 2, and other places. Key verses in the book of Jeremiah, there are several that we could list. One that I didn't put on here that I certainly think needs to be in here is Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. There we read, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." There is the mission that God has given to Jeremiah. It is that he is to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down all those things in preparation for that of building and of planting, that which would be acceptable to God. Then also you have Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, and Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that tells us that the way of man is not in himself to direct his own steps, and therefore showing that in fact we need a revelation from God to know how to live our lives acceptably to him. The key chapter in the book of Jeremiah is chapter 31. Chapter 31 is that chapter that tells us that in fact God is going to bring forth a new covenant. And this new covenant is going to be part of what the Messiah is going to bring. Therefore, it is a prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, as specifically related in chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. By way of an outline of the book of Jeremiah, let me state this at the very outset of this, that it is very difficult to outline this book. And the reason that it's difficult is because the book is not written in chronological order. In fact, Jeremiah jumps from period to period and back and forth over and again throughout the book. And so it's very difficult to try to put it together. But hopefully this particular outline will help you, and I've tried to give you the chapters in order to make it a little bit easier as far as that's concerned. It begins with those events during the reign of Josiah, the first 12 chapters of the book of Jeremiah. After that, we have a section of prophecies in symbols, chapter 13 through chapter 20. Then we have those things that were recorded during Jehoiakim's reign, chapters 25 and 26, chapter 35 and 36, chapter 45 and 46. And the breakdown concerning that is that chapter 26 is the beginning of Jehoiakim's reign, and Jeremiah is going to be tried at that particular time. Chapter 25 is the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign, and Babylon is approaching Jerusalem at that particular time. In chapter 36, again, it is the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim, and the king burns the first writing of the book of Jeremiah. And then in chapters 45 through 46, again, it is the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim, and those things that were a follow-up to the preceding events during this year. And then finally, in chapter 35, we have this during the reign of Jehoiakim, but it is the example of the Rechabites. But then we also have, after that, those events that took place during the reign of Zedekiah, chapter 21 through 24, chapter 27 through 34, chapter 37 through 39, and chapter 50 and 51. And here in this breakdown, we have the beginning of Zedekiah's reign, where Jeremiah takes that yoke and shows the people, as well as Zedekiah, that in fact they are going to have a yoke on them. He also has a letter and a song, chapters 37 through 31, speaking concerning these things. Then there is 7 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, the reference that is made concerning the fall of Babylon that will eventually take place, chapter 50 and 51. Then there is the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in chapter 21 through 24. In the 10th year of Zedekiah's reign, Jeremiah will be put in prison, Jeremiah chapter 32 through 34. And in the 9th to 11th years of the reign of Zedekiah, the city of Jerusalem is besieged and the city is burned, chapter 37 through 39. Chapters 40 through 44 speak concerning the exile, things that take place during the exile of the Jews. And then there are the prophecies against the nations, including Egypt and Babylon, chapters 47 through 49. And then finally, there is a final review in chapter 52 that closes out the book. With each of the books, we've also tried to show Christ in the book. And in the book of Jeremiah, Christ is in several references in the book. There is chapter 31, verse 15. And this is a passage that compares to Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. But there in Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 15, Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." And this will be referred to in Matthew chapter 2. And then also Jesus will go through the very same thing in weeping over the city of Jerusalem toward the end of his ministry. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, and chapter 33, verses 14 through 18, speak concerning the branch. And the branch was a reference to the Messiah, a term that was used for the Messiah to come. And when you may remember in Matthew chapter 16 and other places, when people saw and heard Jesus, many of them thought he was Jeremiah. That's what the apostles said in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 16. But also there is Jeremiah's statement concerning the new covenant, the new covenant that is going to be ushered in by the Messiah. And with such, the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 8, verses 6 through 13, is going to quote from Jeremiah chapter 31. Chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, and he makes his point that just as Jeremiah prophesied that there would be a new covenant, so the new law of Christ, the new covenant of Christ, is fulfillment of that prophecy that Jeremiah gave. And since there is a new covenant, the old covenant is done away. That is the very point that the writer of the book of Hebrews makes there in chapter 8. Well, what are some of the lessons that we can learn from the book of Jeremiah? There are many, and yet I have only listed a few. Certainly, one of the lessons we can learn is the problem of sin. Because throughout the book of Jeremiah, the problem of sin is emphasized over and over again as Jeremiah records this book. God loved his people and he wanted to deliver them from that which was about to take place with them, but they refused to repent. That's what Jeremiah chapter 6 and Jeremiah chapter 8 emphasizes. God calls them back and they said they would not. Sin is that which separates men from God. It enslaves men. It destroys their souls. And that is emphasized in the book of Jeremiah. As a result of that, though, sin must be punished. And it is punished in the book of Jeremiah. False prophets, evil priests, heartless kings had paved the way to spiritual oblivion for the host of Zion. And the tragedy of this dilemma was the fact that the people loved to have it so. They loved to hear the false prophets. They liked what they had to say, and they encouraged them. We also notice in the book of Jeremiah that the Jews trusted in a building. They trusted in the temple instead of the builder. And this was nauseating to Jeremiah. Jeremiah strongly denounced the elect of God who put more trust in the temple than in the who and the what that transpired there. And instead of showing the fruit of transformed spiritual lives, they could only reply incessantly, "This is the temple of God. This is the temple of God. This is the temple of God," Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4. Perhaps the saddest verse in all the book of Jeremiah is chapter 6, verse 16, where we read, "Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way and walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Because of this wicked and rebellious attitude, Jeremiah was told not to even pray for them. Another lesson we can learn from the book of Jeremiah is the wages of sin. We've seen concerning the problem of sin, but what is the result? The wages of sin is certainly brought out in the book of Jeremiah, and in no other book are the tragic results of sin so vividly portrayed as in this particular book. By means of Jeremiah's dirty girdle, Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, his visit to the potter's house, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, and chapter 19, verses 1 through 15, and the baskets of good and bad figs, Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 1 through 10, God showed through Jeremiah the hopeless condition of the people and of the nation because of the way they were going to persist. The wages of sin is certainly emphasized in the book of Jeremiah. Another lesson that we can learn is that God pleads for them to amend their ways. God pleaded over and over and over again for the Jews to hearken and to repent, but they refused. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, willing that all should come to repentance." Such is certainly emphasized in the book of Jeremiah. God was long-suffering, but there came an end to his being long-suffering with those who continued to rebel against him. Another lesson that we can learn from the book of Jeremiah is concerning individual responsibility. In this particular book, there is more related to the idea of personal responsibility as far as one's relationship to God than there is in any of the other prophets, even though there are others, such as Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 and verse 20, that refer to it, yet there is more in this particular book that emphasizes that, in fact, even though the nation as a whole was going to go into captivity and even though the nation as a whole could be lost, yet it was going to be lost because individually they had decided to do this. They had decided to rebel against God. And individually, they could have turned it around, but they would not. Another lesson from the book of Jeremiah is that God has a message. He had a message for those in Judah. And when you examine the book of Jeremiah and examine the messages of Jeremiah, you find where, in fact, there are four stages in his message to those who are the stiff-necked, those who are the rebellious people of God. That first of all, we have the note of denunciation, that in spite of God's loving kindness and his providential care, his people had in fact forsaken him. And so they are denounced because of that. Secondly, there is the note of visitation, that sin must be punished and God's wrath will be visited upon them, and they will be driven out of the land, taken into captivity, where they will be for 70 years. Jeremiah chapter 25 and chapter 29. Thirdly, there is the note of invitation, that God is both just and merciful, and so he calls upon his people to amend their ways and to turn back, to repent and come back to him. Fourthly and finally, there is the note of consolation. And the consolation is that even though they do not return, Judah will be restored from Babylonian captivity. And in fact, the Messiah, the Christ, will come with salvation for all mankind. He will establish his church, a kingdom greater than all other kingdoms, and over which he will reign forever in righteousness and in peace. Another lesson that we can learn from the book of Jeremiah is that real men do cry. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and yet we remember our Lord wept as well. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, John chapter 11, verse 35. And Jeremiah did weep, but he did not weep for himself. He did not weep for his own circumstance, but rather he wept for the people, just as Jesus also wept for the people. He wept over their lost condition. And yet we might ask the question, how many of us could persevere for more than 40 years without seeing any lasting results to our work and still be faithful to God? And yet Jeremiah was. Jeremiah shows to us that in fact real men are sensitive and they can cry and weep and still be real men. Finally, we need to learn, if we haven't already, concerning Coniah, Christ, and David's throne. Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. Jeremiah gives a strategic passage that sheds light on the false doctrine concerning Christ coming back to the earth to reign for 1,000 years, sitting on David's literal throne in the city of Jerusalem. That doctrine being promoted by the premillennialists. In Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 28 through 30, Jeremiah shows, speaking for God, that no one of Coniah's seed would ever sit on David's throne and rule in Judah again. Now, Coniah is also known as Jehoiakim, who is also known as Jeconiah, all three names for the same individual. The point being, it was prophesied by Jeremiah that no one of Coniah or Jeconiah's seed would ever reign in Jerusalem again. Not one would sit on the throne. What's the problem? When you look at the genealogy of Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, lo and behold, Jesus is of the lineage of Jeconiah. Yet I thought Jesus was to be king. He was, and he is. But he is not king on this earth, literally, the way the premillennialists say he will one day be. In fact, Jeremiah shows how false that idea is. He is reigning king right now. He is king over his kingdom. And yet it is such, as Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 30, that Jesus was raised from the dead to sit on David's throne. And he is sitting on David's throne at the right hand of the Father on high. The seed of Coniah could not rule in Judah anymore, but Christ is ruling in heaven, the Hebrew writer says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. And Paul, in fact, preached that the kingdom of Christ is a reality. It's not something yet to come, as the premillennialists say. Acts chapter 28, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 through 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Yes, Christ is reigning over his kingdom. His kingdom, of course, is the church. And so the courage and conviction of Jeremiah in the face of intense opposition, even severe persecution, should inspire us to stand up for the Lord even when difficult times come our way. Because even though he was a voice in the wind, standing by himself, as it were, Jeremiah continued to proclaim the words of God faithfully.